Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Islamic extremism is on the rise, and one of the most recent targets is in Kenya. We're going to be talking about our persecuted brothers and sisters on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this situation. Matt, Islamic extremists slaughtered 147 people at a college in Kenya as they shouted, "God is great." They appeared to have planned extensively. They even targeted a site where Christians had gone to pray, according to recent survivors who described the situation.
Yeah, what a heart-wrenching, heartbreaking tragedy at Garissa University College in Kenya. 147 of our precious and innocent brothers and sisters in Christ were murdered brutally at the hands of Islamist monsters. And Matt, we are seeing this anti-Christian genocide and persecution, particularly at the hands of Islamists, but not exclusively at the hands of Muslims. I mean, we see some of it in China and elsewhere as well, and a lot of certainly Marxist and atheist states will persecute Christians, not necessarily slaughtering them in this vein, but certainly it is Islam right now that we see across the world at the helm in really what is amounting to a new anti-Christian Holocaust.
Yeah, this situation in Nairobi's capital of Kenya, their family members were lining up to look at a morgue where bodies had already been airlifted from Garissa University College. These were the victims of the worst attack in Kenya since the 1988 bombing of the U.S. Embassy by Al-Qaeda, which killed more than 200 people. These individuals were screaming and crying. They were there being assisted by the Kenyan Red Cross, who tried to console them. One of the first things that Al-Shabaab gunmen did when they assaulted the campus, according to a survivor, Helen Titus, was they went directly to a lecture hall where Christians were in early morning prayer. Al-Shabaab is an extremist Islamic group associated with Al-Qaeda. According to Helen Titus, who survived this, they said they investigated our area. She told the Associated Press that they were targeting Christians because they knew where they were going to be for prayer. The 21-year-old English literature student said she covered her face in hair with the blood of classmates and lay still at one point during Al-Shabaab's deadliest attack on Kenyan soil in hopes that the Islamic extremist gunman would think that she was already dead. The gunman told students hiding in dormitories to come out, assuring them that they would not be killed, said Titus, who also was there to see the actual slaughter of her classmates. And they obviously were targeting Christians, and they knew where these Christians would be located because they would be there for prayer.
And Matt, you know, one of the execution methods of choice by these Islamists is, of course, beheading. You recalled recently the beheading of 21 Coptic Christians, Egyptian Christians, who were lip readers, said that they were praying for the souls and for forgiveness of those who were about to behead them, that they were calling on Jesus' name. And, you know, it's all reminiscent, isn't it, of Revelation 24, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the Word of God. And 15, 20 years ago, Matt, I used to read that, and I would think, where does that come into play? When do these beheadings and these mass slaughterings of Christians, and that's not really happening in the world. That's not going to happen anywhere. And yet, here we are today.
Yeah, and, you know, in that passage there where it talks about the individuals, the saints who had been beheaded, they're crying out to God at the very end for relief and judgment. That word is used twice in the New Testament in the Greek. And the only other time that same word for beheaded is used is when John the Baptist is beheaded. And we see that his head was literally cut off and put on a platter and brought to the king. That's the kind of thing that we've seen now with this ISIS and the Islamic extremists. They've literally beheaded these individuals. Some of them have been held up and stuck on for display, stuck out there for display. This is the kind of thing we're seeing. Our brothers and sisters, whether they're the Coptic Christians on the beach, whether these individuals, they're being beheaded because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We also have heard reports that some of these individuals were told to renounce Jesus Christ and to profess allegiance to Allah and Muhammad, the prophet of Allah, and when they would refuse to do so, they were beheaded. This survivor, Helen Titus, said that when these people were told to come out, they'll be okay, they would come out, and they were selected for killing or freed in some cases. Those people who were freed were Muslim. Those people who were selected for killing were Christians. And they targeted these individual Christians specifically for slaughter in this area. And it's not just in Kenya, Matt. Liberty Council has launched a ministry project that we launched earlier this year. We began it last year, but we launched it under the name Liberty Relief International. And now we're helping our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world in Iraq, in Syria, in Kenya, and other parts of the world who are literally being killed, slaughtered, butchered, beheaded because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I would encourage people who want to get involved, who feel helpless, to contact Liberty Council. You can be part of our Liberty Relief International to provide some kind of comfort, some relief, and some desperately needed help for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and losing their lives.
Well, Matt, you know, what we're talking about here today is something I call hard persecution that we're seeing around the world. Yet right here in the United States, Christians at an escalating rate are experiencing a softer persecution, but it's still anti-Christian persecution. You know, you mentioned John the Baptist. What was it that he was beheaded for? For calling somebody out on sexual immorality. Mm. So you have those who are pushing for sexual immorality and acceptance of sexual immorality, and Islamists, kind of both targeting Christians, some with hard persecution, others with more of a soft persecution. We're not being beheaded here in the United States yet, but certainly advocates of sexual relativism are what I call the Islamo-progressive access of evil, so-called progressives. They have a common enemy. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as the old adage goes, and the enemy, the common enemy, is truth, is Christ, is Christians and Christ followers.
Yeah, well, some people have actually been targeted for death, and that's what happened with Floyd, you know, the Calkins individual up in Washington, D.C., with the person who came into Family Research Council, and he wanted to kill Family Research Council staffers and rub Chick-fil-A sandwiches in their face. And once he finished that carnage, he wanted to go over to several other nonprofit organizations in Washington, D.C. Why? Because those organizations believe in marriage as the union of a man and a woman, and that human sexuality is in the context of a man and a woman being married to one another. And for that belief, they were targeted for death. Fortunately, the security guard at Family Research Council was able to stop the carnage before it began.
Well, Matt, we need to be praying for our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters, both at home and abroad, and for Muslims and atheists and anybody else who is being persecuted at the hands of these radical Islamists.
Well, you can go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org, or libertycouncil.com, libertycouncil.com. There at libertycouncil.com, you'll find a number of petitions or emails, the grassroots action email, both for Liberty Council and Liberty Council Action, and for Liberty Relief International. Liberty Relief International is our international humanitarian relief program that is focused on helping our brothers and sisters that are persecuted for their faith all around the world, whether it's in Iraq, Syria, Kenya, or other parts of the world. And the persecution is at a much more intense level than it ever has been. Go to lc.org or libertycouncil.com. LibertyCouncil.com is also one of our websites, and it has all of the different ministries, Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action. It has our emails, which we have a number of them. I encourage you to get on the Liberty Council and Liberty Council Action grassroots emails. Also, if you have an interest in humanitarian outreach and help, you can ask to receive our Liberty Relief International email, which focuses on humanitarian outreaches. I know a lot of people, when these situations have become publicly known through the media, are wondering, what can they do? What organization is actually helping others in these situations? Liberty Counsel is partnering with other organizations on the ground, and we're providing needed resources and funding for our persecuted brothers and sisters all around the world that are dying for their faith. For more information, call us today at 1-800-671-1776 or visit lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.